Welcome to Mini Magic, the kids' podcast where we talk about magic, witches, spells, and whatever else you want. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I hope you're having a good week and start to the month. I'm so excited to be back with episode 3 of Mini Magic. Today we're going to be talking all about altar spaces, but before we get into that, I wanted to take just a quick minute to say happy December. If you're listening to this around when it's posted, we are right in the first few days of the month. And for many of us, that means we're starting to get a little taste of the holiday season. I know in my house, we've started to decorate. We have our solstice tree inside with ornaments, and things are starting to feel a little more like a cozy winter. We're not going to talk specifically about the holidays today, but we will get into them just a little bit before episode 4 next week, which will be all about the Wheel of the Year and different holidays celebrated by witches. Yes, that's right. Witches have their own holidays, which is super fun, and I can't wait to talk about it. But now let's get right into talking about altars. We'll go over what an altar is, some common things to keep on one, and how to build your own. Then, of course, we will jump into my personal favorite part of the podcast and answer some listener questions today from Miles, Lily, and Steffi. So I'll start at the beginning with the big question, what is an altar? Basically, an altar is a sacred space in your home or in an outside space. It is a workspace for you and a place where you can do spells, connect to your energy, honor someone like an ancestor or even a god or a goddess, if that's something you choose to do, and keep things that have special magical significance for you. It's important to note that because this is such a personal space, altars will almost never look the same. Each person brings their unique take to their altar. You choose what to include, and there are no rules or things that must go on it. You actually don't even have to have one if you don't want to, but a lot of people do find it useful to have sort of a designated witchy spot at home. Some places that you might keep an altar are a table, a nightstand, a low bookshelf if you're inside, or if you're outside, a flat raised space like a big rock or a tree stump or a flat piece of wood. You basically want a space that will allow you to safely lay out all of your things where they won't fall over, where you can see everything, and where you have a little bit of room to move around. An altar can be something that is always kept up. It can be permanent, or it can be something that you change around for the seasons, or more of a travel altar. A travel altar would be something you would keep in a box or a bag, where you could keep a few special things that you need, and then you could take them out and lay them out when you want to use them instead of them being out all the time. Now, what do you actually put on it? Like I mentioned, this is going to vary so much from person to person. I'm going to give you some examples of common ways to put an altar together and things to include. I'll tell you what our family likes to do. But if you have a different idea, that is not just okay, but encouraged. This should be personal and unique to you, and you should do what feels right. In our house, we have a family altar in a public space that we can all see and access. It's in the living room and it is very seasonal. What I mean by that is that we like to change this space up to be a reflection of the world outside and the passing seasons. And that means that we're usually bringing a lot of the outdoors in, whether it's plants or flowers, acorns, fallen leaves, rocks, or anything else. That's where all of this stuff tends to go. It will look very different at different times of the year, like winter, which might include more whites, reds, browns, and greenery, versus the springtime, where it could be covered in a rainbow of wildflowers as the earth starts to wake up again and the flowers start to come back. And even though it changes all the time, one thing is consistent. And that's that we've chosen to organize our family altar space according to the elements. You might be familiar with the elements, but maybe not, so let me give a really quick introduction. The four elements that we're generally working with in magic are earth, air, fire, and water. And then some witches choose to include the fifth element, which is spirit. You might want to include something on your altar that represents each element. So let's go through what you could use in those spots. Representing earth, you could use a rock or crystal, or really anything that you've gathered from outside. You can also use a plant in dirt, maybe a small plant like a succulent, and that can be a really great way to represent that earthy, grounded energy. For air, some people use incense, but on our altar, we actually have three different things. First, we have a butterfly. It might sound weird that we have a dead butterfly in our house, but I can assure you she died of natural causes and then she was found and preserved, and we keep her in a safe, special jar away from anyone's hands. She actually belongs to my daughter Luna, who named her Lila. And I'll tell you a fun little secret, which is that if you have my book, Brina, you can see Lila illustrated on one of the pages in Brina's house. But anyway, we chose her to represent air on our altar because butterflies float and flutter through the air on their wings. We also have a few feathers that we've found and cleaned as a symbol of birds, another animal from the air, and then we have a bell. For fire, the thing that you will see the most, and it makes sense, is candles. I know I mentioned this last week, but I will bring it up every time I talk about candles. If you're lighting real candles, please make sure you're doing that with a grown-up that you trust. Another popular thing to do, and really the safest thing to do if you're going to keep an altar in your bedroom, is to get some battery-powered candles. Those can also be fun because you can get the rainbow ones and change them up for a little bit of color magic. If you're using real candles, you can also include different colors depending on the time of the year or maybe the type of spell you're doing. You could also paint or draw a picture of a fire or really any of these elements and use that. For the fourth element, water, the easiest and most direct thing to do is to use actual water. You can use a small amount of water in a dish or a cup, and then we also have some coral and seashells on our altar. I tend to use moon water for this, which is water that has been left out to charge under the moon, whether it's a full moon or another moon phase, but that's a talk for another day. So these are just some ideas for representing the elements on your altar. There are also additional things that we keep on our altar that don't represent the elements. Some of these things are statues, maybe of gods or goddesses, or photos. They can be photos of things that are important to you, photos of your ancestors or people that maybe aren't related to you, but that have passed on that you want to represent and remember. We also have a besom, which is a small broom that we use for clearing energy and clearing out anything that might be on our altar that we don't want there. And we actually have a small candle that represents each of the four elements that we light each morning. Your altar might have herbs, books, a mortar and pestle, really anything that you need to be working with at that particular time. Now, in addition to our family altar, Luna also keeps her own altar in her room, and she is a lot more flexible about what she keeps in there. She tends to have a lot of photos. She has a lot of things that she gathers from outside, but it really just changes depending on how she's feeling. Now, this is running a little bit longer than I intended to, so I am going to jump from here into our listener questions. And if you have any more specific questions about altars, I would encourage you to send them in, and hopefully we can get to them next week. So let's get into our first listener question from Miles.
Annie and Luna, do all witches have crystals?
Hi, Miles. Thank you for this question. It is a really important one to talk about. The answer is a big no. There are very few things that all witches do because we're all so different. And there's no rule that says witches have to have or use crystals. A lot of witches don't use them at all, and some choose to just use rocks from where they live that feel special to them, but not necessarily sparkly specific crystals. If you want to use crystals as part of your craft, that is great, but it's just one of the many choices that you have as a witch.
Hi, my name is Lily. I have the question, why can't everybody do magic?
Hi, Lily. I have good news for you. Anyone can do magic. Literally, anyone can do magic. Anyone can be a witch. Any type of person. The only thing that makes someone a witch is their choice to practice magic. So if we all decided we wanted to do it, we all could. I hope that if you want to, you will explore a little bit of your own magic very soon.
Hi, I'm Steffi. How do I make a protection spell, and what do I need?
Hey, Steffi. There are a bunch of ways you can go about doing a protection spell or magic to protect yourself or others. Because we're being pretty general here, I'm going to give you some big, wide suggestions. One thing you can do to protect your home is put a line of salt or crushed eggshells at the doors to the outside. This will act as a boundary against any negative energy entering your home. There are also certain stones, like black tourmaline and carnelian, that you could put at the four corners of your bedroom or your house for protection. And I would encourage you to make up your own little spell by writing a verse. I love to use rhyme in spells, and you could come up with a few lines to repeat to yourself while visualizing a protective barrier around you. Maybe something like, spirits are protecting me, I am safe, so it shall be. But it can be anything, and spells can always be made up or personalized. Thank you all so much for sending in your questions. I really love this part of the podcast. And if you want to send in your own question about anything witchy for a future episode, you can visit anchor.fm/minimagic with a trusted adult to submit it. Thank you all for being here and listening. I'm so happy to have you, and I hope that you will tune in next week for episode 4 to chat all about the Wheel of the Year and the times throughout the year that witches get to celebrate. Mini Magic is produced by Moondust Press. You can find more information, books, worksheets, and other witchy resources online at moondustpress.com and on social media at Moondust Press.